like, hey, we should stick together. No, we need to split up.
You know what? That was the only part in that I went, really?
I know, I was like...
And just cutting it off right there. Instead of having the
cutting off my circulation.
She's having difficulties.
Well, she is kind of blonde.
It strangled me every time I lifted up my head.
She's a lot blonde. It is Chris's turn. You just banked everything in Pirates. I know that sound well.
What?
Battle Pirates, a game on Facebook. He just banked everything that he had.
Why am I so quiet?
Because I turned down your volume.
Not possible.
We ready, Chris?
You ready, Logan?
Yeah.
All right, let's get it going.
Yeah, I was a smart little kid. That size the part of me since. These days you can catch me sitting in the bench in a bar, give a lager and crisps. Think that if I think back to the days when I thought I didn't think that nothing that I thought would not be possible. Try and figure that out, back when I didn't know how to settle for a desk job, bringing those pounds. I wanted to live in those clouds. These days I deliver those sounds. I always thought of myself as a simple dreamer. I never tried too hard but believed it. Now all of a sudden it's gone my
Welcome, everybody, to episode 29 of Comic Pop Library. Today, we'll be reviewing Cabin in the Woods and Rizzo Kicks, Stereotypical. And we're going to start this time off with the music with Stereotypical. So, April, take it away.
What? You forgot the introduction.
We do that last. We do mine last. Mine's last.
Yeah, that's why I'm up here at the moment. Instead,
Chris was wanting to do his last.
No.
That's why I was talking to you. Where you
I'm Matt, not Chris.
I'm always last. That's why we do the drop in the middle as like a little mini intro. Why would they? Why would we play something at the end of it?
Matt said it. It's fine.
Holy cows. The short look of panic. We need a webcam on for that one because the short look of panic, it was like awesome. Deer in the headlights, man. It was like, ah!
I got to do awesome. Names anyway.
I go it last. Like
throwing, it was like throwing her under a bus at 100 miles an hour. She was like, oh, what? I go last.
I go last.
That was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to have to do that again.
Yes, completely. Again.
No, I mean, like, just like that. Do it again, like, next podcast.
Oh, God.
That was awesome.
No. Okay, let's do this again. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 29 of Comic Pop Library. With me today is...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
And Logan.
And I am Richard, as always. We appreciate you
yes,
joining
always,
us.
Yes, always, you will be Richard.
Yeah, you will be richer than all of us. And soon you will be richer than the world.
I wish I was. This time around, we are going to be reviewing Rizzo Kicks, Stereotypical, and we are also going to be reviewing Cabin in the Woods, and we are going to be doing Cabin in the Woods first, so Matt,
heck
take
yeah,
it away.
Okay, I have to start off with saying that Cabin in the Woods was not what I expected it to be.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Logan, it was awesome. From what I saw of the trailers and things of that were on, it looked like a typical kind of horror movie.
There was a reason for this.
Did you say that again? What type of movie?
Typical
horror movie.
No, what?
That's what I
typical
said.
Typical horror monster.
No, say it again.
No.
Just say it's a horror movie.
Horror.
No, I said horror.
I thought you said horror.
Yeah, it's not porn.
Yes.
Not for whores.
Well, since you mentioned that, according to IMDb on mobile, it says, hear a strange sound outside, have sex. And I kind of went, what? Now, Chris, what's it actually say?
They tried it. They just got a bit interrupted.
Notice, it only says what Matt said on mobile devices. Because
I don't know why.
On the PC version, I'm using the Chrome browser. Five friends go for a break at a remote cabin in the woods where they get more than they bargained for. Together, they must discover the truth behind the cabin in the woods.
At a remote cabin in the woods. Obviously, the title is Cabin in the Woods.
Well, it started out, these five friends coming together.
It did not.
Don't forget the police don't want to pull over the bumper.
Oh, the very beginning.
Yeah, I gotta add that in there, and I will throw that in there because it's just a great
movie. Starts with the scientist.
It actually starts with two scientists, or they're not scientists. They call themselves control room operators, I think.
Something like that.
And they're talking about, last year or the last AFU was in 1988.
The Japanese always win.
And you're kind of going, okay, what does this have to do with the movie? I'm like, huh, what?
This is into Japan, too. It's funny.
So you're kind of going, okay, that's not the way. Yeah, I didn't get it at first. I just kind of kept watching. Then it goes to the two girls talking. They introduce the one girl's boyfriend.
Wasn't her name like Jules?
Yeah, I think one of them's named Jules.
Oh my! And it's like the best hooker name ever.
Well,
I'm like, you're basically setting her up.
actually, and that takes place kind of later on, and I don't want to ruin
it. Ignore the names. There's smart girl, drug addict girl, football
player, the
new guy,
scholar,
and Bong,
and the stoner. Bong, the stoner. It goes to these five coming together to take a weekend trip to the one cousin's. I think it says cousin's cabin in the woods that he just acquired.
Yep. We have to tell of Bong's introduction.
I will. Hang on.
Getting ahead of
it now. Four of the friends
Someone's
are there.
Someone's a little excited about a Bong
story.
Oh,
it was hilarious. Four of the friends are there getting their stuff in their motorhome that they're taking with them. And the fifth friend, who is the stoner, comes pulling up in a Volvo, an old Volvo station wagon, smoking a huge giant bong in his car. I mean, smoke's just, it's like Cheech and Chong movie.
Yeah, like he opens
smoke
it
is like pouring out, the window. And
that's
they're
the
like, what are you
right
doing?
There.
He goes, the hilarious thing is he steps out of the Volvo, closes the door, reaches in the window, locks the door, pulls on the door handle a couple times, and then turns around and looks at him and says something, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't know the whole actual statement. He says, statistically speaking, cops will not pull over a man with a giant bong in his car because they fear this man.
I think that was before he got out, but pretty much,
somewhere in aspect. And they're just looking at him funny, and he tosses them this giant brown paper bag and says, oh, this is going to be a fun weekend. And he takes the bong and collapses it down.
That's not when he says
pulls the piece he was smoking out of the bottom and sticks it on the top,
on
and
the
now
side.
He's holding it like a coffee cup.
Yeah, so it's
you skipped something in
Logan,
there.
It doesn't
oh, I probably
matter,
did,
so.
But
yeah,
we're paraphrasing what happens.
Extremely funny parts. The one guy asks how he's gonna let the owner of the car bring his bong into the truck. That's when he does the
oh yeah, he says, I'm not gonna let you bring that thing into the
what bong.
He says what bong, and he collapses it down. But
like, I honestly
that's
think
the funniest
that
thing in the movie.
So it's a telescoping bong.
Yeah, yes. It was great. It was awesome. He uses it later.
I think stoners would watch this movie just so they could figure out how to make that.
Not to spoil anything, but when you say he uses it later, you mean smoke?
Nope. He uses it as a defense
that
weapon.
Is his base weapon.
So he blows smoke in people's face.
No, kind he hits them.
He goes, bam!
Yeah, we'll get to that. Because I don't want to ruin the movie. They travel up the hill, or to where the cabin is. They're supposed to go through a tunnel. Some stuff happens. They speak with an old guy that kind of creepy.
Creepy, yeah.
The creepy guy that says, oh, don't go here because something bad is going to happen, kind of thing. That happens. And I'm like, this is typical every horror movie. What the heck do these guys in this control room have to do with it?
And then the guys in the control room call call him.
No, he calls the guys.
No,
not
that
trolling.
Was afterwards. Yeah, he says, hey, they've passed.
And basically tells them, yeah, hey, they're on their way up there. You know, there's things that happen in the movie that are typical of the deal.
Wait.
What happens is the switching back and forth between the people at the cabin and the people in the control room. And you're trying to make a correlation between why these two things are in the same horror
movie.
And
then it kind of gives you a clue when there's like this cave, like this entrance in a mountain they have to pass through. Like they made a roadway out of it. And they go into it. And as they go into it, like there's this shockwave.
Well, it's like a force field.
No, that's the bird running into it and dying.
When they drive in, it also appears.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so it lights up and you kind of think, well, now they're in a cage. Like, what is
this? There's just hints to the movie that you're trying to figure out what is actually all going on.
You
totally without spoiling the movie. They end up actually, what you find out at the very end of the movie.
Just spoil it.
Is they're part of a ritual sacrifice.
Yeah.
Is what they are.
Religious?
They make hundreds of different types of
They talk about the old gods.
Be awesome still.
Okay.
So, and the lady kind of explains it that each culture has their own different way of doing it.
The seductress, the joker, the warrior, and two others. Can't remember.
And the virgin.
And the scholar.
And she goes, really? There's a lot of things that happen throughout the movie that, you know, the typical horror movie, you know, the cellar door flies open, and one of the things they're talking about in the control room is they're taking bets, and you go, okay, what are they betting
on? Yeah,
and
they're like, the zombies, the whatever. Man. I'm like,
yeah, and you're trying to figure out what they're betting on. Well, what it is everything that's in the basement, if they do something with it or read it or something like that, this is the creature that's going to come and cause the sacrifice.
I have a question. Do you think there's going to be sequels to this show? Let me read the first line under plot on Wikipedia's page. Technicians Gary Sitterson and Steve Hadley prepare for an operation, one of several taking place around the world, while joking with fellow technician Wendy
Wynn.
They could do parallels timeline.
They could do parallels,
right.
And they could do the different countries, but yeah, those would all be awesome still.
So maybe sequel isn't the word I'm going to use, but maybe other movies are going to come out.
A different version?
That those would be awesome. Happen at the same time the Cabin in the Woods happened.
Because they talk about other countries having doing the same ritual, I guess, a different ritual to appease the same thing, and that's more or less what the movie's about. But it's got all that classic stupid horror stuff that happens in a movie. The basement door opens. Oh, we shouldn't go in there. I dare you to go in there. Okay, and they go in,
like,
and you're going, really? Duh. You know,
there's
the boyfriend and the girlfriend go out, and they're out in the woods, you know,
at
making out.
Aren't gonna do it, but
and he goes to take off her top, and which is kind of a funny scene because he goes to take off her top,
wait.
And she goes, oh, I'm cold, and then they flip to a scene in the control room, and there's a whole bunch of guys staring at all the monitors, and they all go, oh.
So they raise the temperature.
So they control everything
there too.
But I want to say before this was after they went into the cellar. But I think it was funny because as they were going into the cellar, like the whole basically facility of that research group watching them. You know? And one of them picked up like a conch shell, whatever, and was messing with it. But then they messed with the other thing, which led to that. But
was it the diary? I think.
Yeah, diary was
the diary. But
pick zombies.
And so like she reads it, and one of the main controllers is like, oh, I'm never going to get to see a merman.
He gets to see the merman at the end.
Yeah. He does. Like, oh, that's so funny and ironic.
Okay.
Bong is the wisest one of them.
Are these people given mood?
His name is now Bong.
Enhancing, yes.
Mood enhancing or mood altering or hallucinogens?
Yes.
They
are. They talk about them chemically altering some of the stuff they use to prepare them for this event. Kind of like they were chosen.
Right. They were being monitored back in the town even.
Yes.
Because they needed those specific people.
They needed five specific people for this sacrifice.
And I think it's funny because the stoner, who was like supposed to be like the most stupid person on the group, the stuff he was smoking was actually
his secret
making him better.
Making him better. It was like a vaccination for him. So he wasn't affected.
And that's what I was saying, that when you were talking about that, it was when they were out making out, she said it was cold, they turned up the temperature. sure they release some pheromones to, you know, make them want to have sex. And she says something about being dark, and the guy, you know, reaches over and flips some switches and some lights light up this nice little grassy knoll.
Like, how
and
do
you're like,
not
okay,
this
is like every stereotypical part of a horror movie.
I don't know.
In there
the grass light.
Some kind of light, moonlight or something like that. You know, and it's just that
they get
stereotypical
by a zombie.
Yeah. Zombie kills her head off.
And I think
it's not really bloody though.
I think the funnest part was him running back to the cabin and he's bucking in. Here comes this dead zombie girl. He just clotheslines her.
Yeah.
Keeps
and
going.
I'm like, oh my, we just left.
Well,
so
he's a
hard
he's a football player. It's the one armed girl. It's the one armed zombie. Yeah. And he does. It's like he's running along like he's playing football and just sticks the arm out, boop, de-cleats her, and keeps running for the cabin.
It
had its great hilarious parts in it. The technicians and everybody that works to put this production on, I guess, the sacrifice on, they take bets as to what's going to be released.
And whoever gets it gets the money bet.
Right. They win the pot.
Only one person didn't bet.
Oh, okay. So in this horror film, there actually are horrors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jules.
They're okay. Released. But okay, so I think it's funny how one.
She is.
What did she.
Supposedly.
She just put zombies?
One
yeah,
zombies,
and then one's
she
like
comes
redneck undead.
Yeah, and then one of them's redneck Massachusetts, like.
Undead zombies
completely detailed form of zombies.
Totally different things.
Yeah, and she's like, why didn't I win?
Different
and then
artifacts.
They're like, well, look at the two. Like, so different. I'm like,
what?
Different artifacts.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just looking at the cast of characters. There's a whore, like you guys said.
Well,
a whore, an athlete, a scholar, a fool, and a virgin.
Yes.
That sounds like a porn to me.
None of that actually takes place.
Well, once.
No, they didn't get that far.
Oh, okay.
What was, yeah, she got killed before that. What was the comment about he's got a daddy bulge or a husband bulge or something like that?
What?
When Jules and the other guy were making out on the couch. And the stoner walks by and says something about he's got a husband bulge.
Husband bulge is what it was, yeah.
It just keeps and just kind of keeps right on walking, and you're going, what? Did that happen?
That wasn't Jules. That was the
virgin.
The virgin.
The virgin, I can't remember
her
name.
And the scholar. Oh, I think they were so
Jules.
Cute.
Or the virgin, Dana.
Dana. Yeah.
Dana, not
now,
Jules.
Question, why? Well, never mind.
No, go ahead. Come on. Why what?
Go for it.
You might have to edit this out. Why does she have to be the last one to die?
That was the order
that's
of the sacrifice that had to be.
That's just what the god said.
In the ritual.
No, it's not that. It's just that if she's the last one, she doesn't necessarily have to die.
Right. You find out the virgin doesn't necessarily have to die.
It's just that all the others have to die
all
before
all the others
her.
Have to die before her and in a certain order.
And then it's all good from there. It's like,
from what I understood,
to be the
just,
sacrifice.
As long as everybody died before her, she didn't have to die. If not, then too bad, you're dead.
It comes into
okay.
Some hilarious things, especially when he...
Zombies, there's a werewolf.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There is.
What happens is they think the stoner is dead, okay? And the football player ends up crashing his motorcycle into the forest field.
I think that was the stupidest idea. Just the,
yes,
like,
it was.
Hey,
I'm like,
he
really?
He would have possibly gotten away with it if not for that.
Okay, let's
barrier.
Figure this out. Like, so
true.
They finally figure out, oh, hey, there's these redneck Massachusetts zombies after us.
Yeah, this is starting to sound like a spoof movie it before the real
is.
Movie comes out.
Almost.
It's a mixture.
You know, it's a mixture of comedy.
I'm thinking of
you know?
Vampire Suck and the
it's,
Scream
it's
spoof.
Not quite
I can't remember the name of it.
Spoofy.
It's not a spoof.
It's not a spoof
it was,
per se, but it's
that's
a
what I said.
Horror
I thought,
mix.
I didn't think, you know, when I started watching it, it was not what I thought. It was totally
different.
Near the end is a bloodbath of epic proportion.
But yeah, but
it is not a spoof.
But so.
Literally, the rooms are covered.
But
and to go on with what happens in the story is they think the stoner's dead, football player's dead, it's just
can
the scholar and the virgin.
Oh, the football player, go ahead.
Go explain his jump.
Okay, so, you know, they went in through
the... I was wondering why the bike was on the back of the
sure.
RV.
Yeah, they went in through, like, that cave kind of entrance, and they're heading out, and then... So the control guys tell the other team that controls that part of it to, hey, shut it down, blow that up. And they barely got it in time
because
to where they
to
could. And then so they got blocked off and they reversed and where it's trapped. And there's this big old gaping gap. And the football player's like, oh, well, if I take this motorbike, I can totally jump this.
And he totally could.
But,
I've done it before.
But honestly, if he did make that hole, would he have landed?
Yeah.
Right?
Probably not.
Yeah, would he, or would he have like spun out and just like totally face planted, like but, just ate the floor?
That's a broken arm. When you get not necessarily vital,
you know. So everybody has they think in the control room that after all this has happened that everybody has died except for the virgin.
So they're all happy, like.
Yeah. So they're all happy and they're celebrating. Well, they get a phone call on a red phone, I do believe.
Yeah.
That says what? What do you mean? No, he's dead. You know. Well, the chick's kind of being attacked by one of the zombie redneck dudes, and he goes to throw back some kind of weapon. I don't even know what
it was.
A chain of some type.
It's a Kusanagi type weapon.
A ball and chain.
Yeah. And when he throws it back, it hits something, and the camera goes back to there, and it's the stoner holding his giant bong. You know, and he smacks a zombie with it, falls in water, grabs the chick, shows her that where the zombies came out is this elevator, and there's still a zombie there.
But, like, its arm is
wiggling. But it's, like, been totally destroyed. And, like, one of the arms reaches out and grabs her, and she screams, kind of kicks. He goes, yeah, I had to dismember him with a trowel.
And he's, like,
freaking zombie. And he's, like, all serious about it. And you're awesome. Going, what?
I know. He is so nonchalant about it. It's, like,
he
wow.
is awesome.
I said he was my favorite character.
Yeah, he was my favorite character.
You're like, what?
He was the smartest, most awesome person.
Well, they end
movie.
Up going down into the facility and seeing all the creatures that could have been released,
yeah,
which is the werewolf, like, the merman.
And like there,
hundreds of them?
Oh,
more?
Thousands.
It kind of reminded me of the facility, the Resident Evil facility under
yeah.
the town.
Kind
of. Kind
of
like that.
It reminded me.
Willy Wonka style of that.
So
Willy Wonka
all
style.
The Hellboy characters.
I remember that.
And then some.
And some yes.
But listen, like how it was organized like in little boxes and like a puzzle piece. It reminded me of an episode of Fairly Odd Parents when I was little where he was surfing the TV and he went into the
oh,
TV.
Oh, that's right.
So there were all these boxes
that,
okay.
that were
what,
symbolized.
Yeah, kinda. What's weird is that Matt related to that episode.
I have watched many of those episodes with my children.
It was one of my favorite
episodes.
I kind of like
Fairly Odd Parents. Thank you.
Heck yeah.
It fits right in.
It works for me.
But that's
now
what
you
it
have to take
me
the homicidal rabid version of those guys.
It reminded me of that because they had little cubes to represent the different channels. How this one had little cubes that had all the different.
You remember the
in
Willy
there.
Wonka or Charlie
oh,
Chocolate
the
Factory
elevator?
How
it's
kind
of like hundreds of those in one huge cavern.
Kind
of
yeah.
was. Right. And well, they see all these and they end up saying. I think they end up sending an armed force after him
yep.
yeah. and says he has to die and we don't care if you kill her or not. They escape, and as they're being chased down by everybody, they basically release all of them.
The
they get into
room.
A control room.
And they hide.
Hide
in there.
Yeah, and they basically release all of the creatures.
Yeah, they press this button. And
well, all of the guys that were chasing them or whatever are standing in this hallway with all these elevators,
and
you hear them go, ding, and the guy goes, oh, crap.
And I think it's so funny because that ding is so.
And then it's the bloodbath.
Yeah,
I think
it's
funny.
It happens repeatedly. Ding,
that's probably
ding,
the bloodiest
ding,
part
ding.
Right there
yeah.
at the end with all
the
of them
ending.
Dead. The
Definitely.
Rest of it, there's not really any blood
so, but
dismemberment.
You get to see quite a few monsters.
Are they trying to condition you
unicorn?
While you're watching the movie that every time you hear a bell ring, that blood's gonna squirt?
Yeah,
no,
we're
it's
gonna be like in a hotel
no.
and like a ding. We'll be like, oh my god, like yeah. freak out.
I'm never stepping into a hotel with that many elevators.
And they had some pretty cool representations of the creatures.
They had
too.
This
they
one
did.
Girl
it was really cool.
That was like she was a little girl, like looked like she was a ballerina, and her whole face was teeth.
Yeah,
like, so the thing
unicorn,
was in there.
I kind of like the
unicorn
too. Unicorn spears some dude with his horn.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's kind of a little gross and bloody, but a giant like snake,
yeah.
some
there's
viper
like,
creature. The dude gets to see his merman.
Yeah, he's yeah, like the on the floor in his control room, and this merman
you
starts.
You got to set the scene up. The,
set
the,
it up. Set it up for
the
me.
The creatures are coming. In
well,
and they're shooting them, killing
this
them.
Is in the basement, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's control room.
Not quite in the basement. The basement's down a little bit lower. And the guy is trying to open this trap door. You're thinking to escape, something like that. And the guy throws a grenade. It explodes. A bunch of them die. And he gets hit,
things.
Knocked onto like one of the control panels
yeah.
or whatever. Rolls off, and he's kind of laying there, half knocked out. And you hear the this creature coming at him, flopping. And it's he kind of rolls over and sees the creature, and it's one of the mermen.
It's
and he's
the
like,
merman.
He just kind of looks at it like, yeah, great.
It's like, know? Hey, he's, I finally get to see
like,
it.
Great, yeah, what I wanted to see now. I think, what does he actually say?
I don't know, remember. But it was really funny.
It was like, just, you know, so in the midst of this horror massacre, there's this funny scene.
I was like, of course. Like, you're like,
yeah, he's like, really?
And
now?
It was funny because the merman was like, because it's a water animal, so it didn't have legs. It was like crawling towards it, yeah. Like slow motion. And it's kind of like a horrible way to die because you're sitting there watching your death
yeah,
come to you. Like, and then it starts eating him.
Yeah. And without ruining the movie as to what happens, you know, at the very end, it will just say every sacrifice fails.
Japan's
and before,
the one that it shows the most before, of other than America.
Well, Japan's always been able to complete the sacrifices
right.
in the past because it's I can't remember how many stations there are around the world, like Chris kind of alluded to, we've been talking about, that do the same sacrifice,
right.
And as long as one of them completes it in its entirety, the world's safe. And
Japan sends a
Japan
grudge
type
wins. Gal or whatever it is against a group
yeah.
of school children.
She yeah. They end up losing.
She reminded
no
me of
fatalities.
Yeah.
And they turn it into a frog.
I thought it was funny because how they fixed it was like they were all in a circle like singing this like basically school song, it sounded like. Like it would be like just like a random
He says what it is because he says something about it in
yeah.
Japan.
And they're like, how the crap did these little girls get over this?
Yeah.
And our people are freaking out. Like,
and there's no fatalities either.
I don't
yeah,
think
so.
Yeah,
it was Japan had a perfect record, but they failed and it was up to okay. them. But
then all
the only fail they had was in like 1988 or something. They said like that or something.
Right.
And it was just funny because it kind of to me seemed like they took a comedy and they threw it in there.
Shall
but it was
who?
Every horror movie.
I think the one thing that
was
shocked me the most was one of the cast members. I didn't realize who it was, but April after a while figured it out. Do you remember?
It took me about the time he jumped on the bike.
Well, now you've got to.
He had shorter hair instead of longer hair.
Oh, it was the actor that plays Thor. Is the jock.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Chris Hesselworth?
Yeah, and he's in
something like that. I can't
say
his last name.
The Snow White movie with
yeah.
Christmas
Snow White
Story
and
too. I think that
Play
was
Thor. Yeah, about that time I'd kind of figured out who he was, and I was like, Thor can fly.
Yeah, but I thought it was kind of like a deja vu sense because you're so used to seeing him with long hair. Like, it's just your eyes.
Yeah, it kind of didn't. It took me a little
it
bit to figure
like
out who it was.
It felt like deja vu, and then
I
you're like,
just figured out
yeah.
something.
But if you're looking at the actors,
hold on just a moment.
I figured out
he is the biggest named actor in that movie. Nobody else is really, I look kind of
known,
through IMDb.
Yeah.
None of them are really known actors. They do kind of bit parts here and there, but never a main
character.
He's the
staple.
In a movie.
And when
Logan wanted to say what he figured out. What
you remember how the guy trying to trumpet gets hits the wall?
Right.
Falls down a bit, hits the wall again. It's in a sphere shape.
Well, I was thinking of something else. Sphere shape.
Yeah.
I think
kinda,
of the Rainbow Bridge.
Really yeah.
Hmm?
Kind of. He hits it again and again and again. It goes and compasses the base and the thing.
Yeah.
True.
That's
how yeah, that's
you
funny.
Know what I think is weird? They had...
What was this? Sorry, April. Do you remember, I don't know if you can remember, Matt, was this movie before Thor or after Thor?
This would be way after this came out.
After.
This just came out.
Was it? Okay.
This yeah. just came
I
out.
I think it's weird that
well,
they had...
Okay, it just came out in DVD. I think it was produced in 2011, but I don't know when it came.
I don't know, but
okay.
I think
they might have been pretty close together then.
It's weird
maybe.
That they have that big name, an actor, and they didn't tell anyone. Like, I can't recall them ever saying we have him.
That's why I was wondering
that's
where it
said,
fell.
They never really portrayed
well,
it.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now, they don't necessarily go on they don't go on a timeline that makes sense to us. They go on time of the year. They have a whole
right.
bunch of marketing that they do. So it could be they helped produce the movie before Thor, but it was beneficial for Thor to come. It was
come out first.
They waited till Halloween or somewhere around late summer or
okay,
early fall to release it.
Because I know, like, if one a movie has Johnny Depp in it, they really emphasize, hey, we
Here
have
it is.
Johnny Depp. Like,
True.
Watch it.
Well, he's a brand name, if you would be.
Anymore.
He's like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Well, yeah, but if a movie had the Thor actor now, they would say, hey, we have this guy, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, because he's pretty prominent in
yeah,
Snow White and this Huntsman's
He's big right
commercials.
Now. Yeah, he might not be Johnny Depp big, but...
Who would you say age-wise? It's kind of...
According to IMDb...
It's a PG-13?
Yeah, I think it's rated PG-13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods came out first.
Okay.
Okay.
According to IMDb.
So of course it came out before Thor.
Yeah. It was Cabin in the Woods and then Thor, I think.
Are we gonna get to the end of this movie?
I'm not actually gonna ruin really the ending.
We don't want to talk about that. No. Okay.
I don't really want to, other than to say, I think
it's horrible.
It's disappointing.
The ending is very disappointing.
I think
they could have left more of a mystery at the ending by just ending it maybe 30 seconds sooner.
True.
Other than that, I thought the movie was kind of humorous.
They hadn't gotten to that part. True. Honestly. Like,
yeah, you didn't really need to. I mean, it kind of made sense.
No, it was just completely.
I think the ending was good.
No, because the ending actually broke down why it was happening. If you hadn't figured it out by then.
To me, it was like having a cat and stapling a dog's tail to it. Like, it just did not fit with it at all.
It didn't
fit.
Okay, that's an interesting
analogy. Do you use staples? Is that what you said? Staples?
Like
staple.
Like if you're at a birthday party and they have pinned the tail on the donkey, if you had the donkey up there and you use like a cat's tail to do it, it just does not fit at all.
But yeah, see, to me it did because it kind of explained what was going on.
I don't think it did.
I'm just wishing they hadn't quite ended it the way they did.
It was so over the top and stuff. But, I'm like, no.
I'm not sure what they actually rate it. Pretty sure it's PG-13.
That's what I would put it.
There is a little brief nudity.
I don't think
upper body.
Oh, there is?
Yes.
Just say it. There's boobies in it.
Yes, there is.
So all you teenagers out there, rush out there and get it.
It doesn't count.
It's very brief.
I didn't think it counted if she had a bra on.
She didn't.
Oh, I didn't see that then.
There was the ones where they almost had it when they were changing, but I don't think they should.
Oh, I thought it was
funny.
The
double mirror thing.
I thought it was funny. One of the scholar's room was beside the virgin one. Good God.
Virgin one and virgin because the teacher.
What was her name?
He takes the picture, Dana.
There's this really upsetting picture of like
he takes
them
picture off.
Slaughtering a goat. So he takes it off and all of a sudden sees into her room. Like an interrogation.
You know, two-way or one-way mirror, I guess.
And so she's about to change
and he has, you know, a moral
sense to say something. You can see the conflict on his face. Like,
and he says it was a major internal fight. There was bloodshed.
Yeah. <it's> like,
and there has been apparently debates among the staff about that picture.
Seem to recall that, but I can't remember.
It wasn't in that movie.
It was a sacrificial picture, but
there was that guy in the background.
Yeah, the guy in the background.
There's just a random person like, oh, hi.
But the funny part of that was when they switch rooms and she goes
and
in
then
there.
She, and then he starts changing and she's like, and she's like, oh my gosh.
Do I cover it or not? Do I cover it or not? She has the same quandary as he did.
So she covers it and puts a blanket over the picture.
So there's new. Okay, we need to talk about that. There's nudity in this film, but it's PG-13.
PG-13 can have brief nudity,
but it's only upper body.
Yep.
I see. No full frontal.
Or backside.
No full frontal.
But see, at the mirror scene, they did not have nudity in that scene. They got down to, I think, her bra, and he's, of course, they had to show his chest. And I think...
What was that?
In the mirror scene, there was no nudity.
She was just down to her bra. I believe so.
I think the scene that has... And I didn't see it either.
I
think it's when they were in the...
In the woods.
Hormones and
I think
the
it's
and all that.
Brief
that
enough,
brief.
Too, that, like... Cause I
yeah, I think it's just he,
that.
Like, undoes her shirt.
But there is the
it's
weird
like
bed
that's the end
where
of it.
The one girl has to make out with Wolf.
Oh, my God. That was so awkward.
That was kind of weird.
That was weird.
But it is PG-13.
What did they say? What did they say? We watched some of the extras and they said they put sugar or something on the wolf.
So that she could enjoy making out with it.
It's like, okay. Really? Like, way to be considerate.
I don't know how popular the movie actually was. I don't know how it actually did in the box office. I think it kind of people went in thinking, oh, horror movie, all right, let's watch it.
No.
And then went, whoa, you know, this isn't what I expected. So I don't know how good it did actually there.
Like my
friends, how popular it is.
Okay, yeah, like you know how
I don't think it was a big movie per se. I think it did all right.
I don't think so either.
You know how we think it was a funny movie? Well, my friends watched it and they think that's just stupid. Like you've got to have a specific mindset for
you
it
do.
To be humorous.
You really do.
Because my friends just thought it was stupid and never want to watch it again.
Yeah, it's just that we are twisted enough to enjoy it. To the extremes.
He's got that right.
Yeah.
We're twisted enough.
You've
got
to have a dark sense of humor.
Andy, who was on and did the one podcast about
yes.
World of Tanks with us, he watched it. He liked it. He thought the
oh,
same
I
thing I did.
It.
It was, you know, it was funny. It you know, my wife would hate it, you know, but she doesn't like that kind of genre.
Well, that's
so.
Like yeah. mom. She hates yeah. horror movies.
She will yeah. actually go over to the computer, even if it's one she suggested.
And play cards.
And play cards.
No, yeah. she plays Bejeweled now.
Like Chris is doing now.
And she says she can... says, she's like, at least I can quit. Hear it. I'm like, no. Like,
okay, cut. We'll finish. So we were saying PG-13. We were kind of into that. It's kind of a weird audience.
I put it into the horror section at our library. Because it has horror.
It's a horror. Yes. It's just funny.
But if you get somebody, I guess, who's asking for kind of a...
And it has a horror in it.
You just had to add that, didn't you? She's technically not a horror. She just is supposed to be one.
She's
according to their sacrifice. Yes. That's what we call call a free spirit.
She's different.
I guess if you got somebody that likes kind
the
of funny.
Just broke up with a teacher, too. So
like,
that's why she goes.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that one out.
Virgin? What?
You'll get it when you watch the movie. Yes. As I said, if you kind of want that comedy part of it, you'll enjoy it. But you got to go into the mindset. And at first, I didn't really care for it as much because I thought it was going to be a horror movie.
I really liked it.
You know, and then when I kind of got into figuring out it was kind of a comedy / horror movie, I really thought, okay, that's just funny, you know, and started realizing
I thought
it was
of
funny.
Something.
What's that?
The moderator guys were wrong about something.
Really?
She was the scholar. He was the virgin.
Virgin.
Could have been.
Yeah.
They
just didn't realize it.
That's probably true.
They were thinking.
They were
going
to lose anyway.
They were trying to do it this way, but they were wrong.
Honestly.
They were
going to
lose anyway.
I was thinking that, like, because I think the idea of somebody controlling a horror movie or the horror inside the movie was really interesting and really cool.
That's what I thought, too.
And so I loved the whole way through because it broke some of the seriousness with humor so that it didn't get so tense.
Yeah.
But the only part, like, I completely hated it was the very end. Like, that just turned me completely off from it.
Hey, that was awesome. Yeah.
And I think 15 and up.
Yeah. Probably, you know,
PG-13.
Yeah, mature 14.
13.
It is PG-13, but because
they don't have a
PG-15. The bloody scenes at the end, the brief nudity, I mean, that is what the ratings say. It's going to be there.
Your
so.
Family is with bloodbath.
Yeah.
If you take them regularly...
If you take a bloodbath regularly.
If you take bloodbath,
I got it.
There's something wrong with you.
But I said it. The rating system's PG-13. We put it right within our horror movies.
Right.
We don't distinguish PG-13 and rated R's.
I don't think
there.
We do either. It's just,
you just
the genre of the movie.
Right, genre.
Would you think adding it to your collection if you don't have it? I know there's kind of a specific audience you'd have to hit with that one. It'd
very
be really
specific.
Hard.
It's a wide-ranged specific audience.
Well, with any of the new DVDs, a library's almost
you
supposed
almost
to get
to.
It. Yeah,
I would
almost.
Put it in there.
If they don't.
It's kind of weird because this one, I put into horror. Now,
you could put it into
Zombieland.
Could you
and
put it in comedy?
Yes.
Comedy.
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
Comedies.
I put in comedy. But this one, I put in horror because it had more of a horror aspect to it.
Right.
Than
Shaun
just
of the Dead and
spoof type deal.
Zombieland are
obvious funny.
Comedy with horror in it. This is a horror
a movie with
comedy
in it.
See, I think that's the difference. The Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland are completely obvious. You know that was meant to be funny. Where with Cabin in the Woods, it's funny, but it's kind of like a under the line funny. Like, you've got to kind of
you
got to
read some of the funny into
you've
got
to read in between the lines to think that's funny.
Or it's just funny because it's funny.
And if you don't, I guess if you don't have a large collection of DVDs and, you know, somebody wants it, ILL is always the option. I'm pretty sure some of the bigger ones are going to have that. It is kind of a mainstream movie, though I don't know if it was very popular.
And they will drug you through your hat.
And as I said...
I think that was so mean too. It was like, seriously, that's like hurts.
Dragging by the hair.
Yeah.
It was. Did she drag
them? That's
Jules
them.
Was dragged,
them.
Or was it
drugged by the hair dye?
Oh, being drugged by the hair dye.
Yeah, because she dyed her hair blonde at the beginning.
Oh yeah, and that's
and
how
they
drugged.
And they tried drug to the, they drugged her with that. They drugged the.
They tried
marijuana.
To drug Bong, but he had his secret stash.
You
so
know,
parents that are kind of concerned, you know, it might not be for their kids, but, I mean, the ratings there are PG-13. Yeah. Go with what your gut says as a parent.
Very
libraries.
Bloody and has the pothead as the smartest one of the group.
True. Yeah. So the libraries, I would say put it in your collection. It's a fun
I'd
movie to have.
Very fun movie.
At this time, let's do our spot for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month. Yeah, while you're listening, Rizzle kids killing this and a bit. Silly kids didn't think we'd bring it big, but we kinda did. Let me find a brick, lay that down, down to the ground. Now it's about time you found out there's a sound lurking in between the building, certainly discreet. But still, we pushed to be heard, shouldn't be deterred by the fact that people couldn't give a blur. Yeah, with hammers and tools, we plan to rule this land. So shake my hand, yo. I'm the demolition man, and this is my demo, so listen, man.
And we are back. The first drop we had on the episode when we started up was Rizzo Kicks's When I Was Younger, and the drop we just played was Demolition Man. So we are getting ready with Rizzo Kicks, Stereotypical, their first album. So April, take it away.
All right. I just want to talk about that. Demolition Man for a second. I think it's very, very cool because it's like abstract. It's like, it's... I don't know, it's just different how they put that song together. I love it. It's
just
like,
because of the hard beat at the front of it?
No, because of the, and they like stutter it to make it sound like it's skipping.
Oh, okay.
So it makes it sound abstract and like roughly
What is that
together.
Called, Chris?
Scratching, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, but.
Fate, crossfading.
Yeah, but I think that's really cool. All right, so Rizzle Kicks is a British hip-hop duo of a, from Brighton, England, made up of Jordan.
Brighton or Britain?
I think it's Brighton.
Brighton.
Okay.
Made up of Jordan Stevens.
Or, just making sure you weren't talking with an accent.
No, it's Brighton. Of Jordan Stevens, or Rizzle, and Harley Alexander Soul as, or Sylvester. And Jordan is the rapper while Harley sings most of the stuff, like the choruses. All right, and
do they just... Is that who writes the music to? Do they write their own? Is that what it was?
Is this their only album?
Yes, this is their album. This is their debut album. But they've been a group for 4 years now, since 2008. And they've just now come out with their album. But they've had a lot of singles like that led up to the album.
But I remember looking at that does have a page or a booklet in it, and I saw who wrote them, but I didn't know
right,
who
it was. It says, like, they help write them, but sometimes they have people come in.
To assist?
Yeah, and like, so it's kind of like a joint effort with just people.
I didn't know their actual name, so I didn't know if what I was reading was their names back in there or not.
Yeah, and it says they've sold 300,000 copies of this album in the UK.
In the UK. And do they sell it in the United States?
No. They're strictly
okay, so you have
UK
to
right
import
now.
It.
And they've sold 1 million singles off of iTunes. So or wherever you get
You can purchase it off.
Yeah,
of
wherever
iTunes.
You get yeah, wherever you get your singles. You know, they've sold 1 million of them. And like, even though this is just their first album, they're roughly new to the music industry. Their music was featured in the opening ceremonies for the London Olympics 2012.
It?
Yeah.
I didn't really see them. What song did they do? Do you remember?
I believe they either did When I Was a Youngster or Down with the Trumpets. They did one of those two. I wanna say When I Was a Youngster, but
I like that one, When I Was a Youngster.
Which was the opening. It's a lovely one.
And we got our Batman reference in this song for me.
I know. When was
odd
that?
So far. I the ones I've liked are the ones with comic book heroes
wasn't
in them.
Wasn't that Dreamers?
Dreamers, yes. You're
Dreamers
right, April. My bad. Dreamers, my bad.
Has the Batman figure reference.
Yep.
which caught up on.
Tell everybody how long they've actually been together, though, because I thought that was kind of
She said 4 years.
4 years.
No. Didn't they know each other before?
I'm not sure.
I thought they knew each other as kids.
I don't know.
And then their parents brought them back together.
I don't know.
I thought I read that on their website.
They might have, like, because I haven't gone to their website or anything, but they could have known each other. They have, like, a best friend kind of attitude towards each other. And I really like their cover for the CD because they're just sitting there with, like, the most blank expression, so it makes them look like they're stoned. And then their title is Stereotypical, and that's, like, the stereotypical stoner is
true.
Basically them, like, on the cover here. And I love that. It's like, That's so funny and ironic.
They kind of do that with their videos, too.
I hadn't watched any of their videos, so I don't know.
It's like a washed out color.
Yeah.
Somewhat. I like it, though.
Yeah. Who's who here? You said
the taller one is Jordan. Yeah, Jordan Stevens. And then the one with the hat is Harley Alexander Sewell.
Okay. And this is one where April and I kind of debate a little bit. I don't call this pure rap. I feel like it's a mixture of rap and music. And the taller one, he does the rapping.
He does the rap.
He's the primary rapper. And the one that wears the hat just kicks.
Sylvester.
Okay, Sylvester.
I'm trying to figure out where they get kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was their nicknames. Rizzle was him.
I know. It's like, him. I got Rizzle, but like, I don't know where the kicks comes okay. from. That's completely different.
But the one with the hat, he's the one that does the melodies the most, does the singing parts the most. So to me, it's more of that mixture. They brought the two techniques together.
I want to say it's a mixture too, but it could also be considered pure rap because like Eminem will do a song and have somebody come in as a feature and do the chorus, but the chorus will be in a song sense. Like they'll actually have notes and they'll actually have a rhythm.
The song with Rihanna is an example of that.
Yeah.
But to me, it's one of those where this duo has equal time, and they purposely try to have equal time, I think, too. And like, that's why I say it doesn't feel like an Eminem type song where it's a feature. They're both features. They're both
equal. Because there's some songs that are mainly rap and then others that are mainly the song with the rap under.
So they try to play to each other's strengths within their own style of music, basically, with combining the two. So to me, this would be one where teenagers, if you're wanting to introduce rap to your parents, this would be one that could be used because it's not a pure rap where it's not a street rap.
It's not Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Or Drake. Like, that's getting kind of.
So this would be one where, but there is language in it. So, you know, it does have a parental advisory sticker on there. So, but to me, I think more parents would probably enjoy this than a straight up rap
album. I don't know. Yeah. It's pretty much all electronic to me.
Of a bubbly rap.
A bubbly rap?
It's bubbly.
You know,
bubbly.
There's no acoustical instruments in it much.
There's a trumpet.
It's all synthesized.
Mm-mm. I was, when I was on Wikipedia, and it said the different instruments in it. It said the rapper, the singer, and then it had a trumpet and a guitar and one other instrument that I can't recall. That was just the one song.
What else did I hear in there?
But that's like,
I can't remember.
There's one of their songs, Roundup, has like an accordion feature in it, and it's like about the circus and like how they're like freaks and everything. And I really like that because they bring in the unexpected instruments. Like, it's like, why in the world would they think, hey, we totally need an accordion for this? Like, that's not an everyday thought. Like,
wait, now listen, don't make fun of accordion because those guys are pretty gifted.
I know. Well, my piano accompanist for my vocal class, she plays the accordion. She's brought it in for us, but it's just not a mainstream.
No, it's not a mainstream instrument. And they're usually brought in usually because the band knows them, not because they chose it. You know, it's like, hey, we happen to know this guy who plays accordion.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is
you hear accordion a lot in like mariachi bands.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al.
He made it really big.
Comedians. Comedians use accordions in their music, but I don't know who goes out and just looks for people who. It's like, hey, I'm going to write a song, but I want an accordion. It's like that guy, I can't remember the name of the song, but he was going, we just need more cowbell in this song, so more cowbell.
I don't know. I just think that's really
cool. There was a Saturday Night Live spoof with
Carly Rae Jepsen's song?
No, it wasn't that song.
Oh, I was like, that was pretty funny.
Do you think, I think I stated this once before in one of the other reviews, I can't remember, I think it was the first one, maybe One Direction, where back in the 80s, early 90s, they experimented with different instruments within the music, where now it's kind of just, like you say, Chris, all electronic.
And I have a theory on that.
Are the foreign artists, though, are they more experimental now than what we are actually?
I think
it depends on
where you
what country, yeah.
Because in the UK, they have more broad genres that they can do, because like they have Susan Boyle, who's super popular there, and she's like classical opera, like, or sometimes opera, but
well,
she's a classical singer. Like,
depends on how much money the group has. The more money you got, the more you can spend on your instruments, the less you can spend on personnel. So for instance, there's a big country star that goes to Salina every so often. He has a lot of fans there, and he invited the Kansas Wesleyan Choir to sing backup for just one of his songs, and I can't remember the name of the song. In his band, you hear all the parts. You hear a steel guitar. Boy, that's going to narrow down the genre. So you hear steel guitar, drums, piano, saxophone, you name it. He's got a full range of instruments that you hear, but in the back, two keyboarders and a drummer. But behind the curtain, because it was a holiday themed show, in the back was two people on keyboards, and they had like two keyboards around them and a drummer. Instead of having to pay 8 to 10 people to play for him, to play instruments, yeah, I think that's somebody telling me to stop talking.
They would have it all programmed on the piano.
No, well. It wasn't programmed. These guys were actually playing back there. The pianists
but, like,
were actually
playing.
Yeah,
but how they have different settings for their piano.
Oh, yeah. They had preset buttons across
like
the top.
Yeah, like they need a guitar, so they put it on guitar. And
right. Huh. And one guy was back there playing steel guitar on one and bass on the other or something like that.
Okay, that's cool.
Well, not really, because that puts people out of work.
Oh, but like I think it's so cool how they can...
Let me back up. At the time, that's when I was majoring in music performance.
And
so
it was kind of one of those where it's kind of neat for me back in the 80s and 90s to see those instruments up on stage being played.
Right.
And seeing the different artists do it. And sometimes they would let them do some riffs in a live show that would be different from the singles that they would release. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate when they try to, whether it's electronic or actual instruments, I do appreciate the different instruments. But
now, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it was he did have a band, but they weren't available. And this is his backup.
It's possible, since it was a holiday show.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know.
But it was a blast. I had fun with it.
And then one of their songs, which I really, really like, is Miss Cigarette, which will be the closing song, so don't just exit out.
Who comes up with the names of these songs?
No, I'll explain it, but don't just exit out when that's
when
bye.
Richard says bye.
Because I know that's probably what a lot of you do. Don't lie to me, because I do it too.
At least we know where one of the hits comes from.
There we go.
It's like, don't lie to me. So like, try to at least listen to this one, because this one is a really cool one. We don't go far into it to where it has one of my favorite parts in it, but go on to YouTube and hear the whole song. It's very cool. And it's talking about, you could portray it differently. It's either talking about a cigarette and how it's, you know, how bad cigarettes are, and they're portraying it as a woman, like giving it a lifelike feel, or they're talking about an actual girlfriend and using the cigarette as the metaphor. True. And I think that's really cool.
And it can be seen that way. I did watch the video and
because
listen to the song. And
they have a woman there, like as the Miss Cigarette, and I think it's really, really cool.
So there's ones where this is one where you can take different meanings from it. Mm-hmm. To me, it kind of leaned more towards the woman, but I can definitely see where you can see both aspects of it because you have the songs back in the day. I think it was Cracklin' Rose was it Neil Diamond, I believe, where he's actually, when I first heard it when I was younger, I thought it was a woman, then I find out that it's about a whiskey.
Yeah,
and this song is very like that.
And that's what I picked up on, like, the moment I watched the video and I saw the woman and I heard the lyrics, I'm like, holy crap, that just blew my mind. Like, I love that type of thing where it has completely different meanings, which way you look at it.
I was going to be nice. Just said her mind got blown.
I know, I was like...
She was waiting for it, I was just...
I know, I was waiting for that,
I was being nice.
But I like that. I like a double meaning to like songs, and like abstract, like the unexpected.
And who would listen to it, do you think? I said this would be a gateway to get parents to possibly listen to some rap. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't care. I think it's just awkward when your parents listen to the same music you do, especially if it's rap.
So with you and Richard here, it's kind of awkward most of the time?
No, it's not, because, but that's a professional level.
It may be for
level.
Other reasons, not just music.
That's a professional level. But like especially with the rap genre, it's like if you're listening to Drake and your parents are listening to Drake, it's like, whoa, what? Because Drake has some iffy songs.
Some.
H-Y-F-R.
But this one, I didn't see that as being as extreme as that. That's why I said parents could possibly, some adults would appreciate this. And they're, of course, as big as rap is. I mean, there's several adults that listen to it. So maybe not parents, but adults would listen to it. But
maybe like your 20s or 30s. But if you're in your 40s, Dad, I'm calling you out. But it like, it's
throwing
just,
under
wait
the
a minute.
Bus again.
I'm 35.
I said 20s or 30s. 35
well,
is
I'm in 30s.
I'm not that far away from 40.
Well,
But not that I'm looking forward to it.
But you're still in your 30s. Like, I don't know, it's just, when you think of like a bubbly type of rap, like upbeat, you know, hip, whatever.
I'm going to be in my 80s.
No, like.
Bouncing away to Lil Wayne, you watch.
But honestly, do you seriously think of this type of music and you instantly think of 40s and 50-year-old people? Is that instantly what you think of? Nope.
True.
Especially, well, that's not what they're singing about either. If they're singing about.
Hey, no, true. That's not true.
There could be a song called Cougar.
That's not true. That's not true because you got the Lonely Island.
When I was a youngster, works.
Youngster?
No.
When I was a youngster.
I don't know. It's just something about their music makes it weird. As in, like, you just don't even want to think about your parents listening to that. Like, I don't know. You're different. Like, if mom.
I'm different.
No,
now.
Because I could never think of my mom listening to this, but I'm okay with dad listening to it.
No, just a second ago, you said you weren't okay with your dad listening to it, and it was awkward.
No, I said.
For parents.
Like, in the broad spectrum. Spectrum.
So who would listen to it then, in your opinion?
Teenagers.
More teenagers? Teenagers. How young or how old?
That'd be their marketing target.
You said 20s, 30s might already be the top end. What's the low end?
Yeah. You know what? My son could listen to it. He's 9. I think he'd be all right with it.
Yeah, I think like 7th.
He might not get what they're singing about, but.
What's 7th grade?
It'd be more about the beat.
Yeah.
7th grade is 12 years old?
I think so.
That's roughly 12 years old.
11, 12?
Somewhere in there.
But those are the kiddie boppers that listen to it.
Well.
Like Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez.
My daughter will be 12 and she's in 6th grade, so it could be 12, 13.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like 12 and 13, yeah. You know?
You can hear this music on the radio would be pretty mild.
Yeah.
If you listen to some of the local radio stations around here, I mean, there's Lil Wayne, there's Justin Timberlake, and they sing about pretty adult things.
Well, who's the singer that has the I've Had a S Day? Who is that? Pink? Pink's latest one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and they
missed that one.
Really?
Well, they do try to censor naughty words, but they can't censor concepts.
Right.
You know,
you know
Lil
Wayne. Singing about.
I mean, when people really think about what Lil Wayne is talking about, you're going, God, I'm glad my kids don't get Lollipop.
Like Fireman?
So. So, yeah.
Well, you look at let's go a completely different genre, country music.
A lot of them's about getting drunk.
Actually, country music is sort of shifting because it used to be where it talked about getting drunk, my dog dying, my wife dying, getting a divorce.
Now it's about slamming your boyfriends. Oh.
Exactly.
I feel so sorry for you.
I don't.
I don't. I saw this post on Facebook. It was like Taylor Swift has all these songs saying how their boyfriends messed it up. And then one of the guys was like, maybe we weren't the problem.
You want to know
and
something?
And I was thinking, oh my gosh, Taylor Swift. Oh,
okay.
She's
admitted,
a horrible girlfriend.
She admitted, yes, I occasionally get to watch daytime talk shows. She admitted to Ellen DeGeneres that she never sees the same guy on her wall twice.
You mean DeGeneres?
Well, I don't know.
But what?
She never sees the same guy on the wall behind her because she always puts her boyfriend on the wall behind her. She's never seen, every time Taylor Swift has visited her, she has never seen the same guy on the wall behind her twice.
This, I kind of agree. There is some language, though, but I think it goes by so fast.
Yeah, like, it's mostly in the rap, and, like, your rap's like, all right, it's over. Like,
there's a few songs that have a little bit of language. It's not in every song. It's not prevalent in the songs. I think there's one, maybe two that has some words in it, but they're
two.
Not used
there's
throughout the whole song. And they're gone by so fast, unless you're listening for it, I don't think you really catch them.
Honestly, I think there's two songs where they have a naughty word in it, but it's only one of them that's punched, like, it, and that's Miss Cigarette.
Yeah.
My favorite song.
So I would say,
and it's not that bad a word either.
Yeah, and I would say put it within your collection. Your patrons would enjoy this. You might steer them to a different area since they are an international group. So I think that's a little different that most teenagers in our country, you know, aren't aware that
there's so many different groups. Like our hip hop, like how they classify this under British hip hop. Well, if this is British, what's American hip hop classified as? Like, what's in that? What's in Canadian hip hop? Like, no, I'm just joking.
Accents.
Canada.
There's accents in it.
They just randomly throw an A.
No stereotypical sentences.
But it's like, because that's like, there's so many different versions. Like, there's soft rock, hard rock, rock, rock and roll. Then there's indie pop, pop, hip hop, British hip hop, apparently.
So would you recommend this album?
Heck yeah.
I'm taking it. She really liked it. But you said if you buy the album, where'd you get it from?
We purchased it off Amazon, yeah. But it came from the UK.
Okay, so you pay an import tax and all that stuff.
This one wasn't quite so bad. It was about $8 for the album and I think about $3 for customs.
Oh, that's
it was very reasonable.
That's typical of normal CDs. I believe they're $15-$20.
I know, I hate that. I honestly believe that if Rizzle Kicks had came out in America, they would make it too.
It would take a little marketing.
Hey,
it would take more marketing, but they would make it.
Do they have any plans for any U.S. tours or anything like that? No, or
not right. That I know of.
Unlike 660, who...
So I would say I'd recommend.
But yeah, and it's like, and I'm not shy about telling people who I listen to. Like, if I think someone's a good artist...
Yeah, you're not shy about saying that, no. You'll... This left you speechless. What's going on?
I'm confused.
He gave you a compliment.
First. Hold on. We need to mark that flat line there in my...
Yeah, don't edit the flat line out because it just won't make any sense.
The 1 second April was silent.
No, because that was no, that wasn't a compliment, you guys. That was sarcastic. And now I want to know what he's alluding to. Because I know it's mean. It's not nice. I know you guys think it's a compliment, but it's not.
You let your opinion known.
He yes. Just said, okay, yes. Thank you. You have no trouble letting your opinion known. But okay. Yes.
Like, seriously, like, I'll tell my friends, hey, listen to Marina the Diamonds because they are pretty cool. Like, listen to Rizzle Cakes. They're awesome.
And to be honest, if April hadn't picked this out for review, I wouldn't know about them.
Yeah, I would. Exactly.
The only one I would have heard of was One Direction.
Right.
Because it's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're popular in the United States at the moment, so because, I would have known that.
Yeah. They're on the radio.
Yeah.
On some TV commercials, too.
I am a contribution.
We never said you weren't.
To the world.
Hey, I wanted to mention this. They did an MRI scan of a teenager listening to music that he/she has never heard but likes. And believe it or not, there is a pleasure response in the brain of teenagers when they hear something good. So scientists, I'm going to have to look that up so you can put it in your show notes.
It's called mood music.
Well, no.
Not
here's
the kind
thing.
Of mood, Richard.
They predict, they are letting teenagers listen to music before it hits the shelf to make a prediction based
on
off one teenager's response to the music.
On how successful it will be?
And it's working. Huh. So you can, your market, your test group can be one person in an MRI.
But wait, how do you know, like, you don't know what type of person it is, though.
I didn't read the whole article, but when I read it, I was like, wow, that's gonna make or break a lot of music.
Like, because, yeah, like, that true. Could be a geek in there. It could be a choir nerd. That's right, choir nerds are awesome. I'm one of them.
I would guess it was an average teenager,
like,
in high school.
It could be a scene chick. It could be a goth person. Like, you don't know. Yeah.
Interesting, though.
I would think they would try to take a little bit more samples than just one. But it is definitely interesting that you're using tech in that area.
That's kind of like, what?
Wonder what Chris, computer nerd, does for a living. Sorry, I had to pick on Chris for once.
So, two recommends. You guys are,
I enjoyed it. I really did. I mean, I'm not a huge music fan anyway, so I'm guessing if it wasn't made in the 80s or 90s, I don't listen to it.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, yeah.
None of them that you have picked have been bad. It's just, I mean, not
ones
I enjoyed.
That makes some sense because...
No, my daughter has enjoyed, she enjoyed One Direction. You know, I let them listen to it.
Do you let her listen to my stuff?
A couple of them I have, the ones I deem appropriate.
Did you let her listen did you let her listen to any Marina and the Diamond songs?
No, I don't think those are appropriate for an 11-year-old.
Any of them?
I'm not going to hand my daughter the CD and say, go listen to this.
No, not the whole CD, but like just one?
Yeah, I don't really feel like taking all the songs off the CD and putting them on her iPod, so no. No, I mean, but she did like them, and there are certain ones that, that are age appropriate. I would definitely let my children listen to.
I'm pretty sure my picks are leaning towards the feminine side because, like, I'm a chick, but.
Not so much. I wouldn't say so much in that aspect, but more you're a few years older than my daughter, so you're leaning towards that music you would listen to
my
at that
music,
age.
And
not
she's
so much
like
children.
That,
so.
Selena Gomez?
Yeah. I mean, she's still
see,
at that age.
See, I don't listen to Selena Gomez. Like,
and see, she's still at
really
that age.
But it's really sad because the rest of my class does. And, like, it's so sad.
None of them listen to the podcast.
No, they don't.
You don't have to worry about it.
And then, like, they listen to this person named Cody Simpson. I don't know who he is, but...
I don't know that one either.
I don't know. Ask your daughter, because they say... I think he's, like, a tween.
I'll have to ask her.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, they say he's hot, but I think I've seen a picture of him. And he looks short and awkward.
And, and this opinion brought to you by...
I don't know. He does not appeal to me in the least.
If you have any questions or comments to...
So, I'd say if you're... Library has a international collection. This would fit in there, but also I would slip it into the
regular hip hop,
yeah,
rap area as well.
And I don't think even if they aren't American groups, they don't have to be in the international section.
Well, like, a lot of libraries classify it that way. I don't know. That's why I said it could go either way. But some libraries, because since it's not in the U.S., they'll just throw it in the international. But this is one we're trying to review groups that can be slid within regular genres. They don't have to be, you know, even though they are international. So that's kind of what I like about this. They can slide right in next to the popular stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris was looking for the article.
He's excited.
You can explain it later.
Yep. It's
read it to us.
This is an article from ScienceAgogo.
I've heard of them.
.com.
Wow, I'm a nerd.
Yep. MRI scans predict pop music success.
Oh, if you have any comments, suggestions, we'd love to have you write to us.
And if you know about a group,
send it
in
your
local area, or if you've just heard of them,
send
shout
it our
out.
Direction. If you're interested, please send us your suggestions or questions, comments to admin@comicpoplibrary.com or suggestions@comicpoplibrary.com. For instance, we received a couple of emails in the past. One of them is related to, both of them are related to the exhibit that is in Wichita Place's Exploration Place. They're having an exhibit called Videotopia where they have a bunch of arcade games sitting out. People can view them, play them. The individual that I visited with first, Christina, she emailed us back, said she appreciated it and thanked us again for helping them out.
And don't think that you have to be a major part of your library or a major part of something like that to email us.
Yes, you do.
No, you can. No, if you're a normal person, you can still email us. We will
definitely
not bite your head off.
But we also got another email from Rita. She was wondering if this was a way to get free trips to Wichita, and she was laughing and said, "Stop by when you're in town," because she's a director of.
Oh, I thought
the
she was being
there.
Serious. Like, hey, we'll give you a free trip.
She said it was
no,
pretty
we still
cool.
have to pay to go there.
I know. I was like, really?
She said it was pretty cool, but yes, I emailed her back like Matt just said. It's not free. We have to pay to get there. It's out of our own pocket.
Heck yeah.
We're not at that level yet. It might be a while before we are if we ever get there.
Yeah, like if we get there.
But it was fun going to the exploration place again.
I wish I could have got to go into that one. Was it pretty cool?
It was pretty neat. I didn't play any of the games.
It's still going, isn't it?
It goes through January, but by the time this one is out, it'd probably be
close
to being done.
Wait,
just a few weeks left.
Whenever I can go.
You know what?
Are we anywhere close to being a 1 year?
We are 2 years old.
Oh, crap. I missed our first birthday.
I missed our second one, too.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going on three, baby.
I feel like a really bad parent right now. Like, you're two now?
Get used to that feeling.
Man, you guys, how have we not thrown a party for ourselves?
We'll get there sometime.
Because we'd have to pay for it out of our own pocket.
It's not on.
So, yes, if you're interested, please send us your emails. We'd be glad to read them on air. Next time when we meet up, we will be discussing Until Death Do Us Part, story by Hiroshi Takashigi. And we are also doing Fahrenheit 451
by Ray Bradbury.
Bradbury. Join us again for that. And we are going to leave you with Rizzo Kicks' Miss Cigarette. Hopefully everybody had fun. Don't click out. Make sure you listen, as they were said. Everybody have a good one. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Rizzo Kicks.
Illusion. Yeah.
I love it when my lips are on her. There's a spark in our relationship. I plant a kiss upon her. I fuck around too much and there's a risk that I'm a goner. So I've got her on hand like a badge of honor. The downside is she's never there when I'm lacking dollars. So I've got to try and go through a day without acting bothered. In the hope she'd leave me alone, cause I'm better off her. But I see that part and I just accept the offer.
So many people say, why are you with her? And I'm like, she's a damn good kisser. She feeds my addiction, she leaks something different. The smoke from our last meeting has risen. Keep her away from all the other boys, cause you know she's every single cut's choice. Always there when the cold nights are lurking. Gotta keep hold of my golden virgin.
I think she's good for me, that's why I wouldn't leave. She helps me get down even when I shouldn't be. She's there when I'm in need, but she isn't cheap. The last time I saw her, Roski, I couldn't breathe. And they say she's bad for me. And they say she's bad for me. I don't think she's bad for me, but it's a bit of a... Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.